Welcome to the Meditation Conversation, the podcast to support your spiritual revolution. I'm your host, Kara Goodwin, and we are streaming this for the Conscious Awakening Network. So whether you're with us here on Zoom, or you're watching on the Conscious Awakening platform, or on YouTube, or Roku, or all of the different ways that this is going out today, welcome. And likewise, if you're watching the recording, I do these live streams every month, usually the third Tuesday of the month. If you're listening to this recording and you're like, why can't I talk to Mina? Well, you missed your chance for today, but you can always come to karagoodwin.com to the live stream events and register so that you can get the Zoom link and join us. These are free events, and it's such a beautiful way for us to all come together and be able to ask amazing souls like Mina, our guest today, your own questions that you have. So let me do just a little introduction here. Mina the Andromedan is an Andromedan, Archangel, Lyrian hybrid who sits on the Andromedan Council and who was sent to Earth to help humanity realize its potential and choose higher timelines. She's a channeler of messages and light language. She offers readings in which she uses a multitude of resources, including messages from source and guides, remote viewing, and Akashic records to help those who are sent to her to help facilitate a higher ascension trajectory. So welcome, Mina. I'm so excited you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. It's always a pleasure to hang out with you and everybody here and kind of share space and have a wonderful time as we explore our growth and development. So
yay.
Thank you for having me.
And your hat is awesome for anybody who can see the video. If you're only listening, you might want to watch the video because she has a wonderful hat on. So for those of you who are here live, we would love to get your questions. Please do note this isn't the time for a personal reading. So try to keep your questions succinct so that we can get through as many as possible. And also that they apply to the collective, not specifically just to your live stream. While we are waiting for any questions that might come in, Mina, can you talk to us a little bit just about an idea of the work that you do and how you help people?
I'm probably pretty well known for a few different things as far as the Galactic History Report. If you guys have had that, you would know me from that. Some things that maybe are not so well known is if you guys have ever heard the word starseed, that is a word that I created. And so a lot of people don't know that. Back in 2009, I was using that word because we come from the stars and we were planted here to grow and spread. So that's where I come up with the starseed. Andromedans are very succinct with their words. They just like things really simple and call things as they are. But as far as helping the collective, I do light language. I'm a channeler. I channel higher density versions of myself. I came into this world fully embodied, which means that I remember all of my past lives or parallel lives, depending on how you want to call it. So I had memories as a child of multiple parallel lives. And so I would talk to my mom and tell her, you're not my mom, I'm an alien. You know, I come from somewhere else. And this would be like at 11 months old, I'm speaking in complete sentences to my mom. So it's very precocious, very advanced for my age, and doing a lot of strange things and speaking in weird languages and stuff. And I've also had four major deaths that occurred to me where I actually died and flatlined. And then I've also had multiple, in addition to that, NDEs, near-death experiences. I've had multiple contacts. I've been taken. I have a ship that I've caught on camera multiple times that follows me around. I've been taken in my ship. I've been taken multiple times to be worked on for different things. So I am a contactee as well. And that has been basically my whole life. But every time I lost, or I should say every time I had an NDE or a death, I incorporated more memories. So I have this photographic and photogenic memory, so I don't forget things, which is kind of sucks when you think about trauma, because I don't forget any of the bad stuff either, but yeah. I remember all the great stuff. It enables me to be able to share this galactic history with everybody.
That's amazing. You have had so many experiences. And if anybody is not familiar with your Instagram, You've got a ton of things on there, like the ships that you talk about. It's Meaningful Travels, right? Meaningful Travels. Yes.
Yeah, like a play on words.
Yes. And so I highly encourage people to go and make sure that you're following you, because not only do you, I reference a lot of the things that you put on there to people in passing all the time. There's the color spectrum test.
Tetrachromic.
Yeah, so many different things, tons of light language on there. And so tons of content and things to help you, especially if you do feel like you're a star seed. There's so much in there to help you just understand that a little bit more. So we do have Terry, who is asking, what do you see happening in the US from now to the first quarter of 2025?
Oh, the first quarter of 2025. I was saving that for the end, but yeah, we'll go into it. I guess that would be like an energetic update. So I do see a lot of major events happening. Some are going to be not so great. There's going to be a lot of releasing, as we've already seen from the beginning of January. There's been so much releasing and purging, and so many crazy things happen. We had the crazy mall incident, and we had so many different things cropping up all over the world. So that's going to continue to happen, and of course, the United States is going to experience a lot because, in my opinion, the United States is like New Babylon for a lot of different reasons. And they're just at the being a leader on the world stage also means you're probably the leader in corruption too, because a lot of that was very prevalent and it was started or seeded, I should say, in the United States by multiple different families. So I see a lot of that coming to light. We're already seeing it. I see a lot of things that are going to be coming to the surface as far as like corruption. A lot of stuff is going to be coming to a head. We're already seeing that as well. I also, there was a couple decisions that we were waiting on the government to make, and they made the wrong choice by the Pentagon releasing that there has never been any alien coercion with the government. There's never been any contact with the government. Even after the Congress had said all of these things, now their ruling is, oh, there's nothing. There's no ETs, there's no aliens. So that was the wrong move. We told them, this is your timeline. If you do not adhere to this timeline, we are going to make a move. Like, that's calling our bluff, and we will make a move. So originally we gave them till 2027. But if they were not on the trajectory we needed them to be, then we would make moves earlier.
And when
So
you
now
say
it.
we, can you contextualize that a little bit?
Yeah, so when I say we, I'm speaking for the Andromedan High Council, and there are other factions. There's a collaboration together where we're all meeting and deciding about this trajectory. So it's not just the Andromedan Council. But we did say we would take the forefront if they did not adhere to following the disclosure timeline, then we would actually make the effort to make first contact in 2026. So that was the caveat, and they did not adhere to the disclosure timeline. They've just backtracked 100%. So that's definitely going to open up the door for us to push the lines, so to speak, to
Wow.
that. So there's going to be a lot of, you're going to see a lot more ships. Stuff like that is going to be happening.
Okay. That's amazing. So I think you mentioned that there were a couple of things that the government has, like we've hit those gateways and they didn't go the way that it was supposed to go. What was the, is there another example in there too?
Yeah, Congress went and came and they released all this information. We had the whistleblowers, right? But the result of that investigation was that there was nothing after they already said there was. So it's such a blatant pullback that it almost doesn't even make sense at this point. There's so much UFOs in the sky. There's so many videos out there. And to just say it doesn't exist is so blatant. It's so big that it's really going to have some repercussions. Because you guys have to understand, right? There's universal law and we have to allow free will, right? And because they're government entities, much like our councils are for our races, they do have these, I guess, orders, or we'll say diplomacy, that we have to adhere to. So we can't just make moves because we want to, because everybody else wants us to. So we do have to adhere. There is some diplomacy. So we are going lower to more on a level that they can interact and work with us. So if they're not going to adhere to their kind of part of the bargain, then other things are going to be done instead. So that's going to be one of them. You're going to see more ships. You're going to see more stories coming out, maybe more incidences. What happened in Miami, you might see other things. Some people say, oh, this is Project Bluebeam and this and that. Here's the thing. The government is saying that there is no aliens. If they wanted it to be aliens, they would be pushing the fear narrative, but they're just saying it doesn't even exist. I already know that Project Bluebeam has been circumvented. It's done. We, the starseeds, all of us, you, me, and everybody circumvented that timeline once we came out and we started talking and being the mouthpiece for our people. That timeline has been circumvented. That's the good thing. What is either, yeah, it could be the government, but they're doing it as part of the disclosure plan. But now with the Congress saying what they said, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see if they backtrack on that.
Okay. And I'm guessing that everybody knows what you're talking about when you talk about Miami, but let's just hit on that just in case that we need to close that gap for anybody.
Sure. What happened in Miami in a mall is that there was an incident where it looked like every police officer in Miami Broward County came out in full force to a mall. And originally it was said that there was four teenagers that were using sticks and that they had to bring every police, every different type of police, every paramedic out for this. Now there were videos of entities walking around, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of people running and fleeing for their lives. Some of them, that's what they were saying, all because of four teenagers. What happened is these four teenagers started playing frequency and tones on their laptops in the center of the mall near the food court. And these frequencies and tones are similar to what a gentleman who had disappeared did when he created a portal in his bedroom that opened into Sedona. Now there's video of this. The guy was never seen again. He went in through the portal, never seen again. Literally, he was an influencer. He just disappeared. So either the government took him or he disappeared in the portal. Because I think what happened is he opened this portal thinking this was Sedona, and it was Sedona, but it didn't have to be from this timeline. It didn't even have to be from this earth. Joke's on him. So you got to be really careful with that. But these teenagers were trying to replicate the experiment. Unfortunately, what they did was they opened up a portal and they got some really confused interdimensionals out that were wondering, going, what in the heck is going on? So they came out, and that's why they didn't hurt anybody. They had no, they were not violent, nothing like that. And what the police narrative is that they're trying to say that these kids were gang fighting. So for four teenagers, for all of that, and people running like it's crazy, there was no gunshots except fired by the police for no reason. To scare people. And there's video of these entities walking around, one of which was like 9 feet tall, and another one which was a little bit insectoid in shape that was about, I don't know, 15 feet long and about 8 feet wide. And this was recorded not only from a news helicopter, but also from the balcony of buildings that were nearby. So there's multiple videos of this. Not one witness to this has surfaced. So you can smell a government cover up when there is one. Come on, if it was with this day and age, if there was videos of teenage fights breaking out or people running, like you would see these videos, but there's no actual videos of anything they said happened. It's only videos of the ETs.
Oh, that's
So that's the incident that I'm referencing. And that's because starseeds are getting fed up with this lack of response from the government. It's like somebody just lying to your face. We know it's real. It's not a surprise to us. And just to blatantly lie for no reason is just, it's infuriating to a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, because we've had the different disclosures, like that people question whether they're controlled, like planned disclosure as well, like the New York Times in 2017 with the Tic Tac UFOs. And that seemed like the first big step to disclosure. So it's interesting now if the government is going back and saying there's nothing. It's like that is from the government.
Yeah. Know? But I think those events are when we tell them, okay, this is your disclosure plan and you have to meet all of these different points. And then we give them time to meet these points and they can choose how they meet these points, meaning, okay, by this date, you need to say something else, as long as you're continually feeding the public more disclosure. But they try to pull, what do you call it? They call our bluff sometimes because we've told them we're getting to the point now where the people are awakened. It's you that's controlling them. So either you meet this disclosure plan as agreed upon, or we're going to take matters into our own hands and then get sightings like what happened in Las Vegas, where the ETs just come in somebody's backyard and there are videos that pop up of that. And then again, the guy is silenced, his family disappears. So it's, that's us calling their bluff. So, and there's many different races that choose to do that because it's this back and forth between us and the humans.
Wow. Kat has a wonderful question here. How do you communicate with the government as council or as human?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, there is a couple different ways. It depends on the race. Some races communicate through various equipment that they have set up. Some communicate through actual beings here on the planet that are taking in either human form or human-like. And then others communicate in a more technological way, not actually, because a lot of the frequencies and the vibration of the beings can't actually be in the same room. And if they can, but it causes really like duress to the human. And we usually tend to not do that too often because that doesn't really make for a good, nice meeting if your body is quaking in fear from irrational fear just because of the frequency and stuff, like with the grays and other different entities. So.
Yeah, that's so when you talk about the council, that it's just various
methods. Yeah, that's
methods.
More going to be like a galactic, on a galactic level, they'll be representatives. So each of the councils have their own representatives that then act as a representative on the Galactic Federation front. So it's like a federation. The name changes. Sometimes it's the Galactic Federation of Free Worlds. It was in the past and it has changed and it probably will continue to change now. It's the Earth Alliance. So they have different names, but basically it's all the same. It's where there's representative from each race that come forward and represent their races and their council's kind of interest in disclosure and kind of the meeting of the worlds.
So for you, when you're getting this intel within yourself, for example, with your Andromedan Council aspect, and you're getting this information, what's that like for you? Do you get it in real time? Does it just happen while you're going around your day, about your day? Are you in meditation? Is it the dream state? How does that show up for you?
So for me, for the council, it always is my left eye. So it happens when I'm awake. It happens when I'm asleep. It happens no matter time of day, no matter what I'm doing, if I'm in meditation or not, it will happen. My left eye starts to go blurry and then I can't see in this world anymore. I'm only seeing in like essentially, I say 5D, but it's really up in the higher density. So I can actually see what's going on in my ship or something like that. And so I get that. And then that tells me something's going on. And then I go and I check in and see what's happening. Then there are other times like that I'm actually taken. And that's happened when I was awake and when I was around other people. And that was really interesting. And I actually got taken into my ship and actually sat the council and talked and explored my ship and all kinds of things. And then sometimes it happens in the astral. It's different for everybody. And the reason why I say it's different for everybody is because for me personally, my higher density self is a light being. So I'm literally streaming my entire ET self into my body, into this human avatar. So much like Avatar, this is a flesh and this is body, but it's being animated by my ET form. And my ET form is a shapeshifter. It has the ability to go into physical density. So when I go up in my ship, sometimes I do go physically, but that's rare. But usually it's my body deactivates. So my body will go into stasis. And so my heart rate, actually, it's funny because I record this with my Apple Watch. My heart rate will go into one set beat per minute, 84 beats per minute. It doesn't move. And I go from waking to full deep sleep instantly. And my body will stay that way for an hour. And when I'm in that state, my heart rate doesn't go up and down like it should. My breathing doesn't go up and down like it should. It just flatlines, like I'm just there. And while during that time, I'm up in my ship. So it's literally like Avatar, my body deactivates. It's no longer housed by my ET form. So it's just a meat suit.
And you retain the memories of what happens.
Always. Okay. Not always. Sometimes if it's sensitive information or if it's information that interferes with my bias, meaning because I'm human, having human experience, if it interferes with my judgment of my personal human experience, then I will not be allowed to remember. And that was pre-contractual. Now, so if also if it's classified or it could endanger my safety, sometimes I will not remember. Not always, but sometimes.
Well, that makes me think of what you went through as a child, which, if you haven't heard our first interview from the end of last year, I highly recommend that you, I'll put that in the notes for the recording. But you had some amazing experiences of missing time and government intervention and so forth. So we don't have to get into all that because I know it's a lot, but it just made me think of there are some really wild stories in there.
Yeah. I guess I had to go through a lot to prepare me for what my role was going to be when I became an adult, and to prepare me because this stuff and saying this stuff comes with, there is some risk and there is some danger. I have been attacked before on a more governmental level. There's a reason why I'm not in the United States anymore. It's the freedom of speech thing. It's not a thing there. I know people think that America is free. It is probably the least free country besides like North Korea and Russia.
Wow. Well, Patty asks about how many alien civilizations are involved when
Oh
we go
gosh.
back to that governmental, what we were talking about before.
Okay, so when we say alien, are we just talking about extraterrestrial? Are we talking about interdimensional or extra dimensional? Are we talking about Earth Terran beings?
Probably, I guess I would take it as non-human. So even if they're
Oh
like inner
God.
Earth or
Yeah, that's a lot. Okay. So I believe it's around between 182 and 186. I always forget the number.
wow.
Yeah, 182, 186. But that's counting interdimensional, extra dimensionals, inner earth beings, extraterrestrial, and even elementals. There are even some elementals.
Wow. That's amazing. A big coalition.
Yes.
Yeah. You mentioned that you're no longer in the States. Do you, I don't know how open you are about where you are. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, right now I'm in Czech Republic. I was in Bulgaria and I was there for 3 months, and now I'm here in Czech Republic. And afterwards, I don't know. I probably will go maybe to Korea. So there's a couple different places. I want to tour and see Europe while I'm here. It's a amazing place, and the food is so much better. And quality, as far as like everything is banned that's non-GMO, and there's no pesticides, no Monsanto here in Europe. And they're really regulating microplastics, or definitely making a really big effort. So it's been great. It's been great.
Interesting that you're going to go to Korea. You were in, weren't you in Korea or you were somewhere years
I lived
ago?
in China, and then
Okay.
I've been to Korea too, and I've also been to Japan. But my mom was stationed in Korea when I was little, so
Okay.
she was in the military there. So Korea is like my second home. Like, I love South Korea. It's great.
Okay. And I suspect that's part, I mean, it must be part of your mission is to
Oh,
get
yeah.
your physical body in different places on the planet.
Yeah, that's
And
part of grid working.
and then there's like conscious work that you're doing through there, or is it more of a passive just by you being there, or a little bit of both?
It's both. Yeah, it's definitely both.
Okay. I think most of the people who are going to be interested in this topic are star seeds. And you mentioned that you coined that term, and a lot of your work focuses on star seeds. So, can you talk a little bit just generally about the star seed mission and why there are so many here at this time, in at this particular time on the planet?
Yeah, you can think of us like sleeper cells. Like, we were put on the planet to bring about ascension for humanity. It really wasn't happening in the way that we want it, and the way that we had hoped, and the guidelines. So this was like a full safe like plan. So we are fail safe. Sorry, English. Fail safe plan. And so we decided that we would be putting out volunteers. Everybody has heard of Dolores Cannon and her work about the three waves of volunteers. I mean, this has really been happening since the 60s, but it's been coming in waves. And so right now we're in the third kind of wave, I would say, the third wave, between second and third. So the second wave volunteers would be all of your adults and 30s and 40s, and the third wave will be like the kids and the teenagers and 20s. So that's where we're at. So we were put here to help with the ascension, to collectively raise the vibration and frequency of the planet. Even just by existing on the planet, we're already raising the vibration, because we chose different bloodlines or certain bloodlines that would help us our vibration, because we can't just exist in any bloodline depending on your race. So for mine, because I have Archangel, like I had to have certain race that came from like Ashkenazi, and like I had to have certain bloodline lineages, and I have so many different bloodlines. It's really crazy in mine. But we were also put here to heal the bloodlines. So it's kind of like taking a pill and healing from within, like a vitamin. Work the vitamin for the planet and for humanity right now to really make change and really spread that outward from the inside. So in ascension is an inside job. So that's definitely a thing.
Yes, it's interesting what you say in terms of the human genetics that go into it. That's what you mean, right? That you have a lot of human genetics.
Yeah, I had to have certain human genetics and certain lineages. So even I did a DNA test through National Geographic, and I'm related to every major monarch in history. And then on top of that, I'm related to a lot of poets and artists and creatives. Then also, my grandfather was a Holocaust Jew. He was a Schindler Jew. So there is that aspect too. And then I've got Native American, I've got Siberian. So random, I have a rare Siberian gene, hence the hat, no. But I can withstand really cold climates and it just weird genetic anomalies. Like I'm immune to all vaccines and all viruses. So that's super weird. My mom also has that trait. So again, these are very strange genetic anomalies that presented so that I could come in, because it had to be at a certain vibration, otherwise I couldn't be born. And another common anomaly I found out is usually for certain races like Andromedan, Arcturian, what's another one? Speakin, they generally don't come from Neanderthal. So I don't come from Neanderthal. I only have Denizen. And there's two ancient races. There was Neanderthal, and then there was Denizen, which was a smaller race that did interbreed later on with the Neanderthal. But yeah, a lot of people, especially humans, come from Neanderthal, which was Magnacronus. And then that is that branch that branched off between the celestials that interbred and the regular humans. So it's really fascinating. I think it's super cool that we can trace it back that far.
Yeah, I know, because that goes into as well, just, you know, we tend to think of our evolution as humans from like Adam and Eve or whatever. And it all came from the same place, but more and more there's understanding and suggestion and some proof that there are different beings that seeded the earth in antiquity. Mm-hmm. And we have literally different lineages that came from other places.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Not to mention the races that tinkered with genetics, with human evolution too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, Patty is asking, there's a lot of wide open space in Australia to look at, and our government has yet to totally deny the existence of aliens and UFOs. So do you get a lot of sightings in Australia?
Yes.
Yeah.
We get quite a few. I've actually seen one evening. It just flew, well, I think within about two to three miles of where I was, and wow, just cruised on slowly through the sky and went about its business. And yeah, very interesting. But there's been a lot of sightings, and I think we've got, there was one in Victoria that's recognised as about the best sighting ever happened worldwide. It's been reported to as proof, because there are multiple witnesses to what happened. Mm. So that's there. And yeah, there's. Our government's a little bit bending or a little bit influenced by the American government and other big money controlled governments.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good place. There's a lot of space here, and there are, I know there's one, I've heard one report where people who specialise in remote control viewing, and they were watching them down in a site in the Grampian Ranges in Victoria, and then the aliens came through to them and said, okay, we know you're there and watching us, and we're not up to any mischief.
Huh.
You might as well pack up your ship and or pack up your spying gear and wander, go home.
That's
funny.
Quite,
yeah.
There's a lot of countries that have come forward and said that there is aliens. Even Israel, I think it's really interesting that Israel, and I don't want to touch this topic, but the Israeli prime minister said that there was aliens, and then all of a sudden, like now there's a war going on there. I'm just saying.
Oh,
So
interesting.
yeah, I think it's really interesting that whenever there is, even China has even they even started their own like search because they didn't really believe what the Americans were saying. So I think more and more you're going to start to see this, and the people that are going to not be as influenced, or countries that are not as influenced with the United States, starting to say and come forward, yeah, there's some things going on here that people aren't talking about.
Yeah. Mina, I know you do galactic history reports. I know you don't do as many of them as you used to, but I've had a galactic history report from you, which was fascinating and activating. And I was telling you before we started, I was listening to it again this morning, and it is like we were both saying that it's kind of like the more you listen to it, the more, because I shared that I wasn't sure if I was going to listen to it again this morning because I had a lot of things I had to do, and I decided to go ahead and do it. But I thought, I remember it. I remember what she told me. And then I did start listening to it. I was like, I forgot about this, over and over and over. But there's some incredible insight that you give, and you have a vast knowledge of galactic history in general, because the report that you do for an individual, you lay the foundation. So it's like, I'm going to tell you what happened generally first, and then we'll talk about your role in it. But how, in your opinion, and I know this would be, it would vary a little bit from person to person, but how does our galactic history as an individual or as a being play into the Earth missions? Do you get like general themes that you've noticed and things like that?
Yeah, so the cool thing about it being an activation, as well as it's kind of like a remembrance too, because for a lot of people, when I said sleeper cell, I meant sleeper. There's a lot of us that were inactivated and don't remember things, right? So this is a time of remembrance. So what this Galactic History Report does is it not only tells you the history, so it reminds you, but it activates memories within yourself. Because each of these lives, whether you call them past incarnation or if you call them parallel lives, they're more like parallel because they tend to parallel what you're going through in your current life. Because those things are coming forward right now in the collective consciousness to enable us to move past it, work through it, and release it on a collective scale for the global collective. So when you're going through something, when you're fighting a battle or whatever you're doing in your now life, you're actually doing things that have been done in the past, but you're bringing it to the surface so that it can be healed. So that helps in the mission, because the number one point of really stepping into yourself is doing your inner work, right? You're healing yourself, you're doing your shadow work, you're doing your trauma work, you're healing inside. But now you can also do it on a collective global scale, and you can do it on a galactic level as well. Because when you heal that, then you heal in this life as well. And then that starts to activate your gifts, because your gifts can't really start coming online until you have done all your work, your inner work. So we're doing that, and you're doing it for yourself, but you're also doing it for the collective because of the role you play as a starseed.
That's incredible. I feel like I've noticed more, and I'd love to get your take on this, but when I was first on my path and kind of waking up, there was a lot of focus, I feel like, and whether it was my unique experience with who I was listening to or whatever, on the upper chakras. And it feels like there's such importance right now on the lower chakras, in terms of it almost seems to me like pulling this deeper and getting it into the earth. And I'm not sure why that evolution, or if anybody else relates to that in that same evolution, but it's like, and what you're saying with this, the waking up and us just literally just being here. But of course, the earth is in our root. If we do the as within, so without. Have you noticed anything like that too, or?
Yeah, what's interesting is most star seeds are really more in their upper chakras, right? Because we're a little bit more spiritual than a lot of other people. But right now, humans are all in the lower chakras. So we have to find that balance of the meeting of the mind, so to speak. So essentially, it's coming together and bringing us, which are up here, the galactics, and tying it down into Mother Gaia. Because everybody is always in their lower three chakras. If you're human, you're working to provide for your family, you're doing fight or flight. Survival instincts, more living in the reptilian part of the brain. And right now, what we need is actually more of this raising. So for us to help them raise, we have to meet them down. So it's clearing a lot of this because it's blockages that are preventing them from coming up. So it's too much in the kind of fight or flight. It's too much in the lower, like guttural desires, wants, the anger, all of that. That's all the lower three chakras. So, yeah, absolutely. That's our job is to help them integrate all of this by doing it ourselves. So.
Have you noticed from your perspective with, because you also mentioned the waves that Dolores Cannon brought forth, as this third wave is aging and starting to become adults, starting to get into the workforce, starting to interact more, where adults are seeing them less as children. There still are children in there too, but every day more, and they're getting older and older. I don't know if you have a more expansive view in terms of like how that is affecting the collective.
Oh yeah, 100%. And these galactic history reports, I often do it for entire families. So I'll do the parents, I will do the kids. And what we're seeing is that the children are coming in fully embodied. They're coming in speaking light language, or they're coming in doing gifts or energetic healing, or being open or receptive to this, or talking to people beyond the veil, or communing with, or channeling even. And this is because they're coming in with the blueprint already set. So they don't have to learn or awaken. They already have the blueprint. So as they continue to integrate into the society, and as we continually go higher and higher timelines, we're going to get to timelines where the children already have everything that they need, and they are instructing us or instructing humans on how to live on this new frequency with it all around in the new earth, so to speak. Because we're shifting to a higher timeline where a lot of this negativity and a lot of this stuff that had been perpetuated by older generations are now changing. And so it's now opening way and paving the way for brand newness, for this, the new way of life, the new healing, more compassion, more open to other things and being like a member of galactic society. So, the kids are going to be the leaders. They always are, and everybody always says that, but it really is that because they already have the blueprints activated. So they don't need to be taught. They, if you give them the tools, they will make their way. So,
Wow, that's so exciting. It
yeah.
goes a little bit too, it marries with what we talked about in the beginning with the question about what do you see through 2025? And you were mentioning that from a governmental disclosure perspective, 2026 is a hard deadline for them. I hear different theories about when things are really going to start to feel different here on the planet. Some people say it's not even in this generation or not even in this lifetime that we'll really have the technologies that are coming and the real shift. And then other people are like, oh, by 2030, we're going to be in a totally different experience. So where do you land in that?
Yeah, so since 2012, I've been using the hashtag 2030 for a reason. So yeah, I've been in the 2030 camp for a very long time. That's the intel that I was given. What's interesting is in the beginning, it was 2030 had a different representation. And in the past, 2030 was actually the end of the world. So that was the timeline we were headed on, that trajectory. And since then, we've shifted now to that as full disclosure. So the timelines are shifting so fast all the time. Things are changing so fast. But it's, if anything, it's accelerating, not decelerating. So time is speeding up exponentially. And as we continually shift, quantum jump these timelines, you'll see all the new Mandela effects that were never there that you're starting to see now more and more and more. This is because we are shifting timelines so fast. So now, and that's what's so cool about the healing of the bloodlines that I was talking about earlier, is you can actually heal generational bloodlines to the point that they do not remember it ever happening. And that this is, it's been done. So literally you can heal, say, let's say womb trauma or sexual abuse or stuff like that for your generation. And your mom, your mom's mom, they will no longer remember it ever happening. And so that is because we are shifting timelines. A lot of people don't grasp the timeline thing, and it's a part of quantum physics, but essentially we're shifting timelines, and that means this new timeline that is created that we're now on is what applies. It's the main timeline. So that means the other timelines are no longer the main timeline. So you may still remember things from the older timeline, but they don't apply anymore. You might be the only one who remembers those things. And that's how you know you're shifting timelines and you always are trying to aim for your highest timeline, your personal highest timeline. That's the thing. And that's what the goal is. If things are changing and shifting, they're going to. But for me, 2030 has been, it hasn't changed in a while. It's only changed in the last time was 2012.
And so when you tune into 2030, do you see like a completely different experience, lived experience by then?
I see the full disclosure of information. So we get all our real history back. I see contact, and it's just open contact. I see shifting of communities. There's going to be a bit of a separation leading up to that in the timelines, where like a bifurcation where the timeline has split and the higher ascension timeline has already been chosen. People could still choose the lower timelines, but they will not be perceived by us the same way, and we will not be perceived by them the same way. And I've literally seen this happen where people, you'll notice people don't see you when you're walking in a space as much. Like it's almost like you're not there until you interact with them. Or things that affect them, like weather or crazy phenomenon or news, like something happens in like a shooting or something, but you were just there and nothing happened. Or the weather, like something crazy happened, there was hail, but you were just there and there was no hail. That's because you're not on the same timeline. So as you get into higher timelines, your timeline doesn't affect theirs and theirs doesn't affect yours.
That's
So
wild.
that's why people can have different projections for this, because maybe that's the timeline they're on. So,
Right. Yeah. That, and it's interesting, really, what you say with the memory, too, because it is. I heard somebody else talking about that, or where my friend does quantum healing, and she's like, there have been so many times that I've cleared something for somebody and they literally can't remember it. And so then it's weird because they almost don't, they forget the value of the service because they don't remember what it was like before. So then they start to think, like, did I even get anything? It's like, do you not
Yeah.
remember that you
Oh
don't want to
yeah.
plant the seed again? But
I've done that for my mom so many times, and it's so funny 'cause like now I've gotten to a timeline where she channels and does light language and she's on the boat and we're on the same, level, but it's funny we talk about things and she doesn't remember them, and she's like, "Oh, it must have been the other timeline, mom."
yeah.
So because she doesn't remember those things, and I'm like, "Don't you remember that this happened to you when you were a kid?" She said, "No idea."
Yeah, it's so crazy. So Terry asks, who or what makes the timelines?
But technically, we do. Technically, yeah, it's as a collective, you do. You are co-creator of this universe too. I mean, you are a master manifester. Star seeds are put here because we literally have the ability to manifest these timelines. So, humans can too, but they would have to be like all cognizant and aware, and that's usually not happening unless we get together as a collective, and that's why the global meditations were really cool. But essentially, we are. When you manifest, you're aligning your thoughts, your feelings and emotions, your actions and your words. When all of those things align, you create reality. This is how you manifest. Literally, this is proven by string theory. This is when basically there's two, let's say there's a black dot and a white dot. In one reality, the black dot exists, in one reality, the white dot exists. And then there's a third reality in which both exist. And so essentially, this theory is we are creating that. And when you think and manifest a timeline that something happens, as long as you focus on that, you don't create the alternative. But if you do have self-limiting beliefs or doubt or whatever, and you go, "Oh, but what if it does this?" You've now created that alternate timeline where that doesn't happen, where whatever you're trying to manifest doesn't happen. So you can course correct. And that's constantly what we're doing all the time, is manifesting our highest timeline and trying not to let those self-limiting beliefs and self-deprecating thoughts get the better of us, because then we can create that lower timeline. So this is a collective effort. So we're all doing it. But in your personal bubble, you can manifest. I do it all the time. I will manifest free plane tickets. I'll manifest all kinds of things, like, all the time. So you can do it.
That's so beautiful. Everybody. Yeah. Dharma, we have a couple of people here, by the way, who are like, oh, my galactic history report was amazing and it helped me so much. And I concur. I testify. Let's see. Dharma Mama is asking, can we forget things from our own past because of the timeline changing?
That is a good question. And I'm probably a terrible person to ask because I don't forget anything, but I would think so. I feel like you would, right? Like, or is that your, if you changed it, you probably will not forget it. If somebody else changed it, then you may. So I hope that makes sense. For example, like, that's where we get the Mandela effects, right? When you remember something a certain way and nobody else does, or only a small group does, then you're part of that timeline that is no longer the main timeline. Mm-hmm. So that means you shifted. So that means you were part of the collective that shifted that timeline. So if you can't remember it the other way, then that means you were not a part of that timeline that shifted. So you know what I'm saying? So
yeah. It gets very like it's like a circle that keeps coming back in on itself, because
we were
going back to my own galactic history report, where I'm like, I remember it. I don't need to listen to it again. I remember all of it. And of course, it's not until I'm actually listening to it that I'm like, I totally forgot about that. But you remember what you remember, right? So right. You would never know if you forgot something, because it's not in there anymore.
right.
So I mean, it's tricky to know.
That's one example. But let's say like the big Mandela effects, where we literally remember it a certain way. Like the latest one that just happened, when we had the biggest shift that we'd had in a while, which happened back in October, was Bing Crosby, the song, Christmas song, I'll Be Home for Christmas. The lyrics changed to You Can Plan on Me instead of You Can Count on Me.
Really?
It's not even proper English. Not even English. It makes no sense. And my mom has a record, okay, because we played this every Christmas, like clockwork, and we know the song by heart. And she played the record, and the record had changed. And we were like, this was a real Mandela effect. Because, you know, there's the ones that the government creates, and those you can like still have items from that time. Like the Fruit of the Loom one, somebody found like some of the way, the cornucopia or whatever. So that ones are planted, right? But there's real Mandela effects, real ones, and they will change, but your memory doesn't. So that means that we're from the old timeline.
Wow. Yeah, that's wild. Mm. So Cicely is saying, what are some examples of star seeds meeting people in lower chakras and help raising the vibration? Does it mean sometimes we lower our vibrations, or is it that we're holding our frequency while being surrounded by other people?
Girl, you always got the good questions. I was just thinking of this today. It's really funny that she brought it up. But anyways, I was thinking that sometimes you are around people and you feel very drained afterward. Mm-hmm. And you feel like it feels emotionally taxing to be around these people. And it is nothing like personal. It's nothing like they're doing anything wrong. It is just a frequency and vibration. What I've learned is that if they're in a lower vibration than you, and they're in their, you could say in the lower chakras, but that's two different things. But I'm saying if they're in the lower vibration than you, it will feel physically draining to lower your own vibration to interact with them. And this is why you see so many star seeds becoming recluses, going into hermit mode, wanting to disassociate with society, wanting to get away to protect their energy, because it is taxing to have to lower your energy just to interact with somebody. And this is, I'm a prime example of that. I go into hermit mode and I don't see anybody. Like, I'll see people online, but I do not physically see people, and I go weeks, if not more, if I can help it. And it's because it is taxing to be around people, and when they're not vibrating on the same frequency as you.
That's really interesting too. I just was with somebody a few days ago, and when I got home, I was exhausted. And it wasn't, and I enjoyed our interaction. It's a friend, a longtime friend. Yeah. I kind of question that a little bit, but I don't like to think of her in that way. You know, I don't want to feel like I can't hang because it's too, we're too off, but just the facts were like I was exhausted and a little bit nauseous even when I came home, which it was unusual. Like I usually feel good. So
Yeah, and you don't look at it as a negative if they're on a lower, they're just on a different path, right? They're just on a different level, a different growth stage. And so you have to understand that people are going to grow differently. People are going to grow at different levels. Some people are going to grow apart. Some people aren't. That's why you'll notice friends will fall out of the wayside, or even family members or childhood acquaintances, because you are growing at a different rate. At a more accelerated rate. That's your job. Your job
yeah.
as a starseed is to raise the vibration, because you can think of it like a flame, right? We're all candles being lit, and we're going around lighting other candles, but we're also lighting things on fire too sometimes. And it will spread in a good way. But the thing is, if you it takes out of you, you have to give of yourself to then raise that vibration. So yeah, you can do that, but it will drain you.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I know you have a soul blueprint and crystal harp-like language. Those were two things that kind of jumped out at me that I was hoping to get some more insight. Can you talk about those two things?
Yeah, so I got a really beautiful 100% quartz crystal harp, and it has these tubes, and I can show you real quick if you want to see. It's absolutely beautiful, and I'm going to be doing it's more angelic. And so that my archangel is not satisfied unless I do more like archangel light. So we'll be actually music, but and like singing with this quartz crystal harp, and so I'll be releasing that. It's beautiful. So I'll show you real quick.
Yeah, I want to see that. That's awesome. I love that your archangel wants to be seen more.
Usually I have to have my hands really wet.
I've never seen anything like that. Oh. You might have to put it a little bit in front of your shirt if you can, so we can see it better.
Oh gosh.
It's tricking Zoom.
Yeah, it is. It just made me invisible.
Yeah.
It's very beautiful, and it has a lot of, it's called Stardust, and it has certain notes that it can play.
And you're going to sing along with that?
Yes. So I'm going to sing with that, and then I also will be doing the Soul Blueprint. I've been still creating that. I'm having problems because the software I'm using to create, you would understand because you're doing the sacred geometry. Doing this on a computer program, not a program, but where I draw, procreate. Is it's having trouble understanding. I'm trying to put a fifth density, sixth density thing into 2D. It's not working very well. You understand because you're using the paper and stuff, but I'm doing it with Procreate where I actually draw on my iPad. And I've created multiple different models of this, and I'm trying to make it do something it's having trouble doing. So essentially, what it will do is once you've had the Galactic History Report, it's going to take every incarnation you've had and it's going to form personal sacred geometry for your soul blueprint based on, you can think of it like you've got your higher self, you've got which is your super consciousness, you've got your astral self, which is your subconsciousness, and then you've got you at the bottom of the triangle, which is your consciousness. And if you attach that to every incarnation and spin it around in a circle, you get a beautiful soul blueprint. It's very personal. And so that's what I'm going to create for everybody.
Wow.
And I got that download, so it seemed really, really amazing. So in the pictures that they showed me, I was like, I just gotta make it.
So you
So
haven't been able to make one yet? You're
I
still
haven't,
playing with
no,
it?
I'm still playing with it, but that's gonna be coming up. And I think what I'm gonna do is invest in some software that can create the sacred geometry I want. Because I can draw it, I absolutely can draw it, but I want it to be more vivid color and stuff. Yeah.
And it will be a specific geometry for each person, will have their own.
Correct. Because it's based on the number of lives they've lived. Not everybody's lived the
Galactic.
same. Yeah, exactly. And also the amount. So if you've had multiple lives, let's say is like Almachian Andromedan, or multiple lives is Procyon, then that will take into effect as well. And it's also going to have drawings of each individual race. I'm
Oh
also
my
going to
gosh.
draw that.
Wow. That's fantastic. When do you think that'll be coming about?
That one is probably going to take probably a couple more months. The light language harp music will be out a lot sooner, so it's going to be out within the month.
And will that how where will people be able to access that?
That will always be on my website. You can go directly to my website, meanafultravels.com. And I wanted to notify you guys, the More Than Human masterclass that I do, where I teach people how to do telekinesis, I just finished the last one. Everybody in my class was able to do telekinesis, telepathy. We had all the clairs. Cicely, she took my class, so she was in the class. But we did everything, and we just finished the 6-week course. And so now what I'm going to be doing is, because not everybody can afford to pay for the class up front, I'm going to be offering each type of thing you can learn a la carte. So if you just want to focus on telekinesis, or if you just want to focus on electrokinesis, or if you want to focus on hydrokinesis, or if you want to focus on telepathy, you can just purchase just that portion, like a mini course. So,
And Cicely says the class was amazing. Wow,
she
that's
did
so
great.
cool. So cool. And with the going back to the soul blueprint, is it like the angles relate to the angles of the planet or the star system from when you were born or anything like that? Does it go into that?
Yeah, so what I'm going to try and do is use the configuration of where it's at in relation to Earth, and then also plug in the different types of lives. So each life will then be represented by its own little character, which will represent the race. So if it's Procyon, it'll be a little Procyon guy.
A little
If it,
ET from
yeah, literally.
the,
But they look a little different, but yeah,
yeah.
essentially that. And then as it relates to Earth, where it is in location. So the program is having a problem with, because
Yeah.
I can't, it won't allow me to draw the straight lines of the degrees I need. And when you're doing sacred geometry, it has to be super precise. So
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna
Oh,
have to get something
wow.
else.
That's fantastic. And you do still do some of the galactic history
Oh
reports,
no,
right?
I'm
You still
offering it
do
for
them?
anybody who watches this. You can go to my website and I'll do it for a set amount of time. You guys just go to my website and you can either, or I'll also post it here in the group chat where you can access the Galactic History Report, and I also will give it to you so you can send it out in the email if they want to get
Yeah.
the link.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I know I got so much from it. We've had a lot of people in the chat saying how important it's been for them. Again, like the people who are drawn to this, if you're drawn to this, you probably are a star seed because non-star seeds really aren't interested in this and don't get it. I get comments sometimes for videos that, and it's they just don't get it. So it's like this is nonsense, you know, but it's yeah, I can understand how it's confusing.
Yeah, I mean, how is it that hundreds of millions of people all over the world are feeling and sensing and seeing and dreaming the same things? Like that, then they haven't talked to anybody, but now there's all these people. That's how it was for me. I thought it was like so alone when I first came out in 2012, as far as out openly talking to people, because I learned, after I got judged, that I needed to keep things to the chest for a bit as growing up as a kid. But in 2012, I started noticing people were like responding and waking up. So I would activate people's light language in person where I lived in New Mexico, and I would, help them, and we'd have like ceremonies, and we'd go out and commune with, especially the natives, Native American like myself, we'd go out with our tribes and commune. And they even have a legend speaking about the star people. So this is not just nothing. This is very much something. And our job as star seeds is to be points of validation for other people so that they don't know that they're alone.
Right. Beautiful. I know that you were open to doing some light language as we close out here.
Okay, so just get somewhere comfortable and just get relaxed in your seat and close your eyes if you want. I'm just going to pull in some light language, letting it invigorate us for the rest of the week, and just take these codes from when you go and go forward and just let them fill you with energy, fill you with hope, fill you with faith that everything is going as it should. Have gratitude and love for your journey thus far, and allow this to bring you to your highest timeline, always thinking and trusting yourself and your higher self, because you have all the answers, everything is within, and we just need to trust ourselves and to love ourselves more. So I'm going to bring in some codes.
Nutumaina ikunaisana atusanaina luunaina. Ukunaina asitu turai kunasanaina. Itu tasna ikunai luunai sineti maitu. Ina tasa ina kulaina. Ina situ turai sinai kunai latsna tumai. Ina tulunaina. Binaina kunaina sinaitu. Ina turukunaina itumaina isinaitu. Ina kura turu turukaina asinaitu inaina. Ina lulaina ilumaina. Lala asina iluna etima ilunaina. Ina lumiaina kunaina isanaina. Ina turu sunaina. Ina turu kunaina. Ina sinaina luna. Ina timaina isanaikuna. Asaina asa. Ina lisaina tu. Ina tumaina isanaikanaina.
And allowing you to have trust for your journey, trust for yourself, and know that you're not alone, that we're all in this together.
Unukusaina itu turukmaina isanaina. Ina turukunaina inu tumaina situ rakunaina isinaitu. Ina lasanaina ina sihisunaina. Ina turukunaina situru ina sainaina. Ina sa ina nunaisa asaina. Isa no kunaisa, ina tu utu umaina iti itumaina, ina saina, ina turu kunaisa, ana sai kuna.
Taking a deep breath in through your nose and releasing all the stress and worries of the day and allowing this to carry you throughout the day. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you so much, Mina. I can feel that in my heart. Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here. What a joy to spend this time with you. And let's take that blessing into the rest of the day and the rest of the week. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'd love to ask you for one quick favor, and that's to share this episode with one person who you think will benefit from it. Let them know you're thinking about them by sharing this episode with them right now. Thank you, and I look forward to the next meditation conversation.